The Lord knows what we need even before we ask. I'm having trouble with my voice, and I reckon allergies. It's having a hard time keeping my throat clear, so pray for me. We're going to look today again in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And the more I meditate on this great sermon that Jesus gave, I see more and more that it is a matter of the heart. It concerns the motivations of our heart in our service to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He contrasts the external acts of religion that the scribes and the Pharisees engaged in with the internal motivations of the heart. So there again today, we look in Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus here gives three illustrations concerning the motives of our heart. The illustration of almsgiving, the illustration of prayer, and of fasting. And in each of these religious exercises, it is to be from a heart filled with humility and thanksgiving to God, and not to be an outward show to be seen of men, but rather to be pleasing unto our Lord. So let's start by reading the first four verses and then have a word of prayer. Matthew 6. Jesus teaches, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. For verily I say unto you, they have their reward." But, we love that transitional phrase, "but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which sees in secret himself, shall reward thee openly." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful to be in your house this Lord's day. And we pray earnestly that the words of our mouths, and more importantly, the meditations of our heart, may be pleasing in your sight, O Lord God, our Redeemer. Heavenly Father, search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Forgive me of my sins, faults, and failures, and I pray, may your word have free course in my heart and in the hearts of all those who hear your word this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so we found already in Matthew chapter 5 that everything Jesus teaches here concerns how we are to live the Christian life in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Those phrases are interchangeable in the New Testament Gospels. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, refers to that spiritual realm that we each as His children, that we have the privilege to enter into on a daily basis. It is that spiritual reality that we have that must be entered into through obedience to God's Word. And so that teaches us again that that kingdom here in the earth is not the eternal kingdom, but rather entering into, as Jesus said in other places, the joys of our Lord and Savior. We often say truly, we can never lose our eternal salvation. But yet, how often do we lose not our salvation, but rather the joys of our salvation? You know, Paul in Romans 17 said that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is our righteousness, who has paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary and imparted or imputed to us His righteousness. And so now as we look in chapter 6, we find the first two words are, take heed. That means to beware, to be diligent, pay attention to, be cautious. Daily, we are to be aware of the temptations of the devil, because he is a roaring lion walking about in the earth, seeking whom he may devour, as Peter says, and whom we are to resist steadfast in the faith. But then remember that James said, and we mentioned last Sunday that in James 1, no temptation has taken us but that which is common to man, and we are tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. But yet, this teaching here is teaching us, why are we doing what we do? Do we do service to the Lord to be seen of men, or rather to seek out the pleasure and approval of Almighty God? You remember Paul said it this way, I believe, over in where he talks in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul wrote, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So our goal in Christian service is not to please men, not to seek the approval of men, but rather to serve Christ and to seek the approval and pleasure of our Lord and Savior. And so we are to be on guard for that every day and examine our own heart, just like David said, and I mentioned in my prayer in Psalms 139, "Search my heart, O God." Psalms 139, verse 24, I want to read it. Psalms 139, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Know my heart. "Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalms 139, 23 and 24. We are to search our own hearts, and yet the Lord is the one who searches our hearts. You remember what the Lord said unto Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16 when he was going to anoint the next king over Israel. Remember, after the Lord had rejected King Saul because of his pride and arrogance and intruded into the office of the priesthood, that Samuel, they looked upon the sons of Jesse, and many of them were tall and strong and handsome, but yet God said, "I haven't chosen those. I've chosen David." And the Lord said that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. On the heart. and He tries the reins of our heart. So we are to take heed now that we, number one, do not our alms before men to be seen of them. Now, what are alms? That's an old English word. It literally, first of all, means giving to the poor. Giving to the needs of those who are less fortunate than we are. And we are certainly commanded other times in the Bible to, yes indeed, give of our abundance to help those who are truly in need. And we are to do that. But more broadly speaking, the word also means any righteous deed or any good work that we endeavor to do in service to God. You remember in Ephesians 2, Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God before ordained that we should walk in them." So we are commanded to walk in good works. We are indeed commanded to do those good deeds, but not to be seen of men, not to draw attention to ourselves, but rather to point to the Lord, to point up to heaven, to our Father, and to glorify Him for all that He's done for us. So let us not do our good deeds to be seen of men, for otherwise we have no reward of our Father who is in heaven. Now, our home in eternal heaven, that is an inheritance paid for by the shed blood of Christ. But living the Christian life in this world, if we do it obediently and in the right motives, then there are rewards and blessings to be experienced. Now there again, we don't serve God in order to receive blessings and rewards. Rather, those blessings and rewards are simply a byproduct of our service to the Lord. And so, there again, it is the motive of our heart. It should never be our intention to say, "Lord, I'm going to do this good deed in order for You to give me a reward." No, that's not the right intention, is it? Our intention is simply to be that we do others good for others simply because we love the Lord and we are grateful for all that He's done for us, and we truly and sincerely want the best for God's children. We want the best for God's children regardless of the sacrifices that we may have to make in our own lives. We are to lay our own selves aside in order to serve the Lord and His people. And when we do that, there are blessings to be found. So He says, "Therefore, when you do us your alms," or righteous deeds, see, "don't sound a trumpet before you, like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. For they do it to be seen of men, to have glory of men." And He says, "Truly, they have their reward, which is the praise of men." The religious leaders of Jesus' day, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were outwardly self-righteous, but Jesus condemned them in Matthew chapter 23. And in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus pronounced 7 woes upon the scribes and Pharisees. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." And He ultimately said, for example, that you are likened unto those whited tombs that are beautiful outwardly, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones. And so he says that they were hypocrites. And the word hypocrite comes from the Greek word that means an actor in a play. The Greek actors would wear a mask over their face as they played a part. They're actors. They're playing a part, not themselves, but some other part. And so we know then that's what it means. A hypocrite's one who plays a part and pretends to be something you're not. God condemns that kind of behavior. But I know that I have been guilty in times of my life, and we all have, of doing things probably without the correct motives of heart. But yet, we are not to do these things to be seen of men, but to the glory of God. Then he says in verse 3, when you do your alms, when you do good deeds, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, do your good deeds in secret. Don't make a show of it. Don't openly declare what you're doing in God's service. Go about your service quietly and discreetly and with much humility. Do it quietly. Don't broadcast it, but do it in secret. And then he says, your heavenly Father who sees in secret shall himself reward you openly. That reward, of course, may come in different forms. We don't know what it might be. Most of the time, it's not material, but a spiritual reward, a blessing of feeling in your heart that the approval of God, of having in your heart the feeling of the Lord telling you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's all we need. And then second, he gives the illustration of prayer. And don't we know the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Now, prayer, again, is to be offered unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, there's nothing wrong with public prayer. There are times when the Bible commands public prayer. Certainly we pray in the service, in the church, and that's good, and we're supposed to. But yet, when we pray publicly or privately, regardless of when or where, it is to be unto the Lord Himself. The Lord is the audience, not men. So he says then, beginning in verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, again, that they might be seen of men. And he truly says again, they have their reward, that is the praise of men. In other words, let's not stand in pride before men with great words of oratory. But then he says, but when you pray, enter into your closet. Now that closet could be a literal private place. It could be in your bedroom. It could be out in the woods somewhere. But it more importantly, I believe, concerns the privacy of our heart, in the inward recesses of the soul. Even in a crowd, we can bow our heart to the Lord and pray privately to Him, even in a crowd. And the Lord, who sees in private, again, He says, will reward us openly. So He says, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, that is, shut out all worldly concerns. It is so easy for us to be bogged down in the cares of the world we live in. It is such a rat race that we live in. Fast-paced world in an evil world. But we have to close those things out, all those distractions, and shut the door of the closet of our heart and pray to God alone. And God, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And then he says in verse 7, "And when you pray, don't use vain or empty repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their much speaking." Now, there's nothing wrong with repeating similar prayers often, as long as it's sincere and not done just for repetition's sake. And the Lord is about now here in the next verses to give us the model prayer, an example of how we are to pray. Jesus' disciples asked him in Luke 11, "Lord, teach us how to pray," just like John the Baptist was teaching his disciples how to pray. So we're not heard for our much speaking. One of the shortest prayers might simply be, simply, "Lord, help me," or "Lord, be with me," or "Lord, show me the way to go. Show me what to do, what to say, how to act in that situation I'm facing." So our prayer life is not in the multitude of our words, but more so in the attitudes of our heart. So he says in verse 8, "Don't be therefore like unto the hypocrite, for your Father knows what things you have need of, even before you ask Him." Now that shows that God knows everything. He's all-knowing, omniscient. He knows even before we ask. And some may say, "Well, why then should we ask?" Well, number one, because the Lord commands us to ask. We'll see that later in chapter 7, there in verse 7, when he says, "Ask and it shall be given." But prayer is not for God's benefit. It is for our benefit, that we might realize how dependent we are on Him, how much we need His help every day. And then He gives us the model prayer, the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer. "After this manner, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." The name of God alone is holy. Holy and reverend is His name alone. We are to pray, "Thy kingdom come." His kingdom has come in the earth. When Jesus was raised from the dead, that third day on Easter morning, and then 40 days later, He ascended back to heaven, and 10 days after that, the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, and God's kingdom came down in power. And we still have that power today. And we are to pray for that same power to come upon us today as we pray for His kingdom to come to each of us individually. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." God's will is always done in heaven. And we're to pray that His will be done in our lives here in the earth. Like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done." "Give us this day our daily bread." Now first, we've got to remember that we're supposed to work, that we're supposed to provide for our own families. But as we do that, the Lord is faithful to give the provisions that we need. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Forgive our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And that is in a timely, conditional sense. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That's an emphatic statement that says that our Lord does not lead us to do evil. Let no man say when you're tempted that we're tempted of God. For God does not tempt man with evil, neither tempteth he any man. James 1:15. For every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed by our own sinful desires. So that sin when it's conceived, lust when it's conceived, brings forth sin. And sin when it's finished, brings forth death. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That is, we acknowledge who God is. That He's omnipotent, all-powerful. That He rules and reigns. The kingdom belongs to Him. The power of His kingdom belongs to Him alone. He'll not share His glory with another. And all the glory belongs to Him. For if we don't forgive men their trespasses, He says, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. But if you forgive men their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will forgive you. And so, that's serious, isn't it? You remember back in chapter 5, He says in verse 23, now if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and remember that your brother hath aught against thee, leave there your gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So we are to be right with our fellow man before we offer unto the Lord. And then third, Jesus gives the illustration of fasting. Now fasting can take on more than just the obvious. Certainly, fasting, we think of abstaining from food, usually, don't we? Jesus, remember, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, didn't He? Matthew chapter 4. And afterward He hungered. But fasting can involve laying aside anything that we enjoy in this life for the sole purpose of focusing for a time only on God and His purposes in our life. Laying certain things aside that we may focus on Him alone. So He says in verse 16, moreover, when you fast, don't be as the hypocrites are, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Don't make an outward show of fasting. And again He says, verily I say to you, that they have their reward, which is the praise of men. But you, when you fast, anoint your head with oil, wash your face, that you may not appear unto men to fast, but rather unto your Father, which is in secret. It is not to be an outward show, but an inward exercise of the heart in true humility and gratitude to God. And your Father who sees in secret, again, shall reward thee openly. Again, it is a matter of the heart. Wise man Solomon puts it this way in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of our life, the things that really matter, they are matters of the heart. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. And let thine eyes look right on, straight ahead. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all of your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left hand, and remove thy foot from evil. So when he says there in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart, means to take heed, be on guard. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Protect it with the Word of God. Protect it with prayer. Protect it through the Holy Spirit. Because out of our heart are the issues of life. There again, remember, Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7. Again, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, he says in Matthew 15, 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws nigh to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And then if you drop down to verse 18 of Matthew 15, he says, "But those things that proceed out of our mouth, they come forth from the heart." They come from the heart. "And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man." But then he said, "To eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man." So my prayer is that the Lord would search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.